Hi, everyone. Welcome to TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 92 for September 3rd, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I've put the list together of the top requests that we're going to talk about today. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be posted to YouTube and to all of the audio-only version to podcasts, to all the podcast networks. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe to get the video. My name is David Cosmeter. I am the creator of TimingResearch.com, and today I have arranged for Jim Kenny and Harry Boxer to join us. Harry's a first-time guest on the show, so it'll be great to talk to him today. And Jim is going to be moderating, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay. Thank you very much, David, and welcome to everybody who's listening right now. Today, we have got Harry Boxer of thetechtrader.com with us, and we're going to go over as many stocks as possible, and Harry could maybe share with us some of the things that he's focused on today. But before we get started, I'm familiar with Harry and his website, but I know not everyone is. So without further ado, Harry, a quick background on yourself and what you guys are doing at thetechtrader.com.
Well, thetechtrader.com has been around for 19 years, and we started it after the dot-com crash, basically. I've been in this stock trading business for 55 years. I'm 72 years old. I've been doing this a long time. I wrote a book called Profitable Day in Swing Trading, which focuses on using intraday charts on a one-minute tick, you know, one-minute charts for that develop patterns for potential very profitable day trading. And in our room with several hundred people, we have some great traders in that. So we focus basically on day trading, but I also have a swing trading service where I put out several swing trades a week that have done very, very well in the last few years. I'm purely technical. I've been doing this for a long time, and I started when I was 13 years old, so you can imagine. I've been doing technical analysis for a very, very long time, and I believe in it. I believe that the difference between technical analysis being a perfect science and not being so is that human emotions are involved, and people's interpretation of technical patterns differ, and that's why we have buyers and sellers, and that's why technical patterns don't work 100% of the time, but as a guide to trends and a guide to accumulation, distribution, and overbought, oversold, and things of that nature. It's very, I think, something that is very viable. My institutional clients tell me that I've saved them millions because of my technical timing. They do the fundamental research, and their ideas a lot of times are some of my ideas, because when I see a fundamental stock that they love actually come into the picture of a very positive technical position, that's when I tell them they can start to accumulate. And you know, my old philosophy was, there's a good time to buy a bad stock. There's a bad time to buy a good stock. Simply look at what the trend's telling you and don't be emotional about it. And Joe Granville once said, you're better off not having a name on a chart. You're better off just having a number, because once you have a name, you look at the fundamentals, you get involved with it emotionally. And that's one thing you can't do when you're trading. And I find that when you separate the fundamentals from the technicals and focus on the technicals, you'll do a lot better in terms of your timing.
Excellent. Okay. And at the end of the broadcast, of course, you'll tell people how to get in touch with you and how they could benefit from your information. Right now, again, I'm Jim Kinney from optionprofessor.com. I'll be the moderator today. And we're going to start out with Ulta. ULTA is the symbol. And this is a stock that had a 29% drop in one day because they cut their sales growth and their earnings estimates, and they got taken to the woodshed, as they say. But Harry's going to put in perspective where we are now and what the prospect might be, because it was an extremely high volume sell-off, and sometimes there's opportunity there. What do you see here on ULTA?
I have to totally disagree. My opinion basically has to be that when I see a major uptrend where a stock has gone from 193 to 370 in about a year and a half, break on the kind of volume that broke, this is an initiation of a new downtrend, not a buying opportunity, perhaps for a bounce or a swing trade, but you better be in and out quickly, and you better have stops on it. Because I got to tell you, my experience of 55 years of trading is that when stocks break like this on huge volume, it's an indication of a trend change, not an buying opportunity. I tell people, when I see this kind, what I'm looking for is a bounce, and I want to see if that bounce over the next week or two or day or two or three, whatever it is, comes on lower volume. See that big volume that bars? If you see it much lower volume on an upside, and you're likely to see that, and we form some sort of flag or rising wedge or something like that, perhaps a kiss back to the trend. I don't know if you can see my cursor here, but this is the trend channel connecting these lows. Any bounce up in this 265.70 range up here in that zone, I don't know if you can see the cursor, but if you can.
Yes, we can. we can see that.
Okay, great. So any bounce up in that zone, to me, would be a short opportunity, not a buying opportunity. You may buy it here and sell it there, but I think I would rather go with consolidating a position and then rolling over and looking for something down around, I think, perhaps retesting that double bottom around 197. For me, short around 255.65, look for about 197 to 200. And at that point, you may have a 1-2-3 wave correction, or you're going to have a 1-2-3 wave bounce back to 228 and then a rollover that tests these lows down here. And my experience is that, and I'm sure that you're basically familiar with Elliott wave stuff, right? When you look at stocks, they tend to move in five waves. Here's 1-2-3-4-5. This was a topping pattern after five waves. It was a no-brainer that this was going to fall apart. I'm not surprised it did this. Yeah, I'm surprised it went down 100 points, but I would have preferred it to drop down about 275 and rally back to 300 and give us a short opportunity instead, which you're going to have to do on this one. And notice all the bottoms in here. There's a gap, two bottoms there and a bottom there. This is a support zone. So yes, I do expect a bounce. But if the market tanks in here, the market rolls over, and in general, stocks are falling, this is very vulnerable to extend the decline down to near 200, give or take 3 or 4 points. That's my take.
Yeah, it definitely has done technical damage. There's no question about that. Okay, so anyway, that's what we see on Ulta. And now we're going to roll over to a total different story. This is a stock that made a 52-week high today, ROKU, Roku. And you'll see here, it's a tale of a total different city here. But the trees don't grow to the sky, but this thing seems to be testing that theory. What do you have, Harry?
I can give you my take on this one because I know it inside and out very well. It's a swing trade from earlier this year for the tech traders, and here's where it went. You see this down channel and the breakout, and here's a breakaway gap right in there. See that gap on heavy volume? The breakaway gap on heavy volume followed by a bull coil and a breakout is where I put a swing trade on. And that was at 40. I had two targets, 50 and 60. We actually reached 74 and then went into a 1-2-3 wave corrective kind of falling channel. When it broke out there and had a breakaway gap on volume again, I put another swing on it. This stock looked to me like it was going headed much higher. However, I want to also point out when I drew my trend lines parallel to these lows here, I came out to a target of 155. Today's close was 156.88. This has met my long-term target. Now, Roku in less than a year, it's gone in about 9 months. 9 months has gone from 26 to 156, a sevenfold increase, 600% in a year and a half. So for me, I caution everybody, trees don't go to the sky. Yeah, that's true. But if you look at 1-2-3-4-5 waves and basic Elliott wave, five waves up at the top of the channel and a long-term 600% move, my tendency would be immediately to take half off the table right here and keep stops on the stock under here. You cannot let this go under 127.8. If it drops under that level, I think it falls back down to 100, 110, and it may even fall further because after five waves, we may need a much deeper retrace, maybe even down towards 85 to 95. It's a great company. I love it. I'm not saying it's going to be in half, but I am saying it's extremely vulnerable. If we get any down market here, this is extremely vulnerable to at least a pullback to the high 120s. That's 30 points from here.
A couple questions. Do you ever watch the moving averages, or basically you're just analyzing the technical charts? Because the moving average is about 100% underneath at 72 area with the thing trading at 156. Does that come into your theory? I mean, your work at all? Or
okay, first of all, I don't understand what you're talking about. My moving averages are 50-day at 117, and the 21-day is 135. Are you talking?
I was talking the long-term 200-day.
Yeah, my theory, and I've studied this for 30 years. Right. 200-day moving averages are useless to anybody who's not a long-term trader. If you're a short-term or intermediate-term trader, the 50, 21, and 10-day moving averages are what you need to watch. Now, I understand that most people on Wall Street are aware of the 200-day moving average. So, why would a 200-day moving average in the 70s be of any consequence to a stock that's 156? Than to say it's extremely overbought. It's 100% above its 200-day moving average. That alone would be a reason to sell a stock.
What I was referring to, the fact that it is an indication of overbought.
Right. Perfect, Jim. If you have a five-wave move up that takes the stock from the high 20s to the mid-150s, and it's 100% above the 200-day moving average, and it's at the top of the long-term channel, all of this combined is a massive selling signal in my mind. Now, momentum's a funny thing. Stocks always go further than you think they're going to go up and further than you think they're going to go down. So for me, you may see some momentum take it into 175 or even 200. I don't know that, but I would keep tight stops on this one. I would keep raising my stops. Probably watch this channel too. Now watch this tight channel in here. See it, Jim?
Yep.
If that breaks this 10-day channel, immediately I start to stop or sell off positions. I don't know at what point would be a key support, but it looks like something around there where these tops came in and these bottoms came in. 130, let's call it 135. I 100% stopped my entire position if it broke under 135. That's me. That's the way I trade it.
Any use of collars or married puts or anything? The volatility must be so huge on this, the premiums would be off the charts, right?
That's another thing. If you have positions in a stock and you've had them a long time and you have 100, 200, 300, 400% profit on it, why wouldn't you sell calls over here? Let them at like 165 or 175 calls. They're going to probably get $5 or $10, you know, based on this volatility. So that's what I would do. And if if you're taken out, so what? You're basically guaranteeing yourself about $170 or something like that, $165, $175. And if it went to 200, so what? If you bought it at 40 or 50 and you got a 165, you know, including the price of the stock and the option, I mean, that's a great way to exit a stock. Let them, you know what they say? There's an expression on Wall Street that I learned from my friend Linda Rashke, tremendous trader. When the ducks are quacking, feed the ducks. You know what that means, obviously.
When people
are clamoring for something,
yeah,
you know, that's when you need to give it to them. I also have another expression. When you're at your screen and you're yelling, go baby go, 90% of the time, that's the time to sell it.
Right. The enthusiasm is off the chart.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a big stock because, again, it's been a real home run for people who've been in there for the last year and a half. And I'm sure there's people who are trying to figure out, what are my alternatives here? I think you gave them a few good ones right away.
By the way, another stock just like that is Twilio. They both have run up huge, but notice that Twilio has gone from 24 up to 150. Notice the rollover, and I have a short on this right now. Look at that bear wedge.
Yeah.
Yep. Moving averages are rolling over. The trend line's been broken. Perfect, yep. Perfect setup for a short. And if it breaks this line across here, if this should get under, say, 120, 130, the target's 94.
Right. And this might be effective if the whole board rolls over too, huh?
Yep.
This next one here was not on many people's radar a year ago, but now it's very well talked about, and that's GLD, which obviously is becoming a fan favorite out there. And what are you seeing on GLD as we speak? It's within shouting distance. Well, it made a 52-week high today, so obviously it's still on the bicycle today anyway.
Well, I don't follow GLD because I follow the more volatile indexes like GDX and GDXJ, JNUG, Nugget. Those are my four ETFs that I follow.
Right.
GLD, look, anytime you see a massive 1-2 and a massive 1-2-3-4, this is like, even if it's going higher, look at where it is in relative to the angle of ascent. So it's extremely overbought. It met all my targets. I was looking at this. That target was 137 and then 144. It's above that too. Look at a long-term perspective. Always take a long-term perspective. So it looks to me like a massive six-year base has developed and it broke out. It's got to a really key resistance level. And I would say if you're going to look for an exit point, and I know that it's long-term, but for me, 145.48, right where it is an out, I think. Now, I'm not saying long-term sell it. I'm saying if you're trading it on a shorter intermediate basis, this is a good exit point. Let's face it, it's gone from 119 to 146. It's quite extended short term. And anytime you see a stock, multiple big bars like that near the top of a channel, that to me tells me it's overbought short term. The whole group is. Stocks like Royal Gold, one of my favorites, I put this out. Look at this chart. I put this out when it broke. I mean, how many gold stocks have inverse head and shoulders that are at all-time highs? All-time highs. Now, this is one of my favorites. But the number one gold stock I have is Kirkland Lake, which I put out at 13, and it's 50. And that's the kind of stocks you want to be in. Now, this looks like a tech stock, doesn't it? You want to trade GLD, that's fine. Let's go back to it. It has a nice base and it has a nice break on a big volume. But if I'm a buyer on gold, it's going to be back down towards 138, 140, not here.
Which would be about $20 lower or something?
No, it's 145. It's only about 6, 7, 8. So here's what I'm looking at. If we can count this as 1 and 2, wave 1, wave 2, wave 3, then look for a wave 4 setup that can take it to wave 5 around 158, 6. I would like to see something around in this zone down here, 138 to 139.5 on a pushback that gets to a parallel channel bottom right about in that zone. Stocks tend to go up in 45 degree angles, and that's what this is doing. But it's overbought. It's extended. I think the market isn't quite oversold yet, but the gold stocks are overbought.
Yeah. What about silver, if you want to put that up? Because that had a big day today. I think it was up about 4%. And some people are thinking that there could be a game of catch-up in that. And what is your chart showing on that?
Look at the USLV. Look at this chart. 1, 2, 3, 4, massive fifth wave on big volume. It's overbought too. It's overbought as well. The whole group, precious metals are overdone. Now, again, I want to emphasize when a stock spikes up, and by the way, today was if you look at this chart, you have to call the following. This is a breakaway gap. This is a running gap. This is what we call a running gaps. And this is an exhaustion gap. I think this stock, the USLV, which has gone from 55 to 123 in 90 days. That's it. Despite the fact, and has run into a big line of resistance up here, I think that, and we can go to the SLB for a minute. They look similar. Look at the spike up in the SLB. That's similar to GLD. Yep. It's gone from 1340 to 18, basically. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you look at the chart, that's a big move for this. Now, here, it ran even further, and it got all the way up to 19 and a half. Yes, momentum could take this to 19, 19 and a half. But if you see this spike extend beyond where it is now, look how far. This is a too far, too fast stock. And anything that goes too far, too fast is a setup for a pullback. So, but it's also kind of a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 waves up. So for me, I'm a seller. I'm a seller in everything. I mean, I'm not saying the market's going to hell in a handbasket, but I do not like what I'm seeing across the board.
If you were a bull and you wanted to buy a pullback in this area, what would be some of the areas that you might find interesting on a pullback?
Anytime a stock pulls back to a prior high, that would be 17, or right. My preference would be closer to 16 and a half down there.
16 and a half.
And then I'd stop under 16, because underneath that, that's where it could really fall hard to 15 and 14. Don't forget, even on a Fibonacci retracement, a 50% pullback gets you to 15 and a half.
Right. Of course, a lot of people are long-term bullish, but maybe they feel like I own it and I don't want to get out of it, but I don't want to add, but I'd love to add. But based on what we're seeing here, adding here doesn't look like a high probability, but those numbers you were talking about might be a better bet if you're an adder, because a lot of people do have a longer term perspective that the way things are going, these precious metals have a bright future.
My biggest profits in my history have been buy high and sell higher, you know what Jesse Livermore once said. And because basically what he meant was there's no overhead resistance on stocks that are all-time highs. There's nobody looking to get out even. And so a stock is like blue sky. You know, you could just, they could run, and they can run like the wind, especially if it's a heavily shorted stock, and the shorts are murdered and they're, you know, panicking to get out of it.
Well, let's switch over to one of the biggest stocks, if not the biggest stock around, which is Microsoft. It rolled over a little bit today, down about $1.82. It obviously has had a pretty good 52-week range of 93 to about 140. So what are we seeing here in Microsoft? And
I watch all the NASDAQ generals every day. I review them intraday on my website. I have a live webinar that's on all day. I'm not talking all day, but they can see me working my charts. And I can tell you that if you look at the NASDAQ 100 generals, all of them, from Apple to Google to Netflix, this is the best chart of all the NASDAQ generals. Why? If you take a look at this real quickly, Netflix has pulled down. Apple has pulled, forming a wedge, and that's not too bad. And Google came down and it's forming a wedge too. So they're all vulnerable. But if you look, and even Microsoft's vulnerable, but I like the way it's held up and I like the way it's holding the trend line. However, easy to put stops. 132 in that 132.3 range is key support, and under 130, 30 and a half is where you have to stop the stuff. If it breaks out over this triple top in here and gets out, if the market suddenly rallies and this gets over 140, it could be 150, 152. That's my target at the top of the channel up here, provided this whole trend continues. But you know, you could also call this rounding top, not quite a head and shoulders. So that's why this level has got to be protected around 130 and three quarters.
And it's one of the leader in the index fund. So if the indexes make a move up or down, it'll probably, you know, participate in the direction of the index. Huh?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to this one here, which was a very volatile darling of the new issue market, Beyond Meat. And this baby here went from $45 up to $239, then back down here to $163.
Jim, I got to tell you, I've recently eaten a Beyond Meat burger, and it's really delicious.
Good.
And it tastes like meat, but that doesn't mean shit. I mean, When you think about it, you know, the more you like something fundamentally, the worse you might be off. This is a short. Why do I say that? By the way, we traded this from the 80s up to 200 and some odd. I told everybody, particularly in this position, if you take a look at this, this is a beautiful bull wedge right here. After it had a breakaway gap and a pullback, it wedged. Near the apex of this wedge, this is what I always teach people. When you see a wedge near and little bars near the apex, and the volume's really low, that's what we call the low volume ebb. And when it breaks out, it runs. And this stock went from 147 to 247, 100 points right in there. I want to show you, though, for me now, it's a left shoulder, a head, and a weak right shoulder. As a matter of fact, the right shoulder looks like a bear flag. The volume is very low. Typical for head and shoulders is heavy volume on the left shoulder, pretty decent volume on the head, and very low volume on the right shoulder. This is a perfect head and shoulder setup. And I wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole until and if I see an price volume surge that takes it out above 182 with volume. You do that, then it's going back to 245 or 300. But this stock is very vulnerable. If we get any kind of bear phase in this market, even 3 or 4 weeks, this thing's going to come down to 110. It's going to fill that gap. Maybe it holds the gap. So let's call it 120 and 110 are your downside targets for short. and you better get out of the way if it starts to fall, because this is going to fall fast. Anytime the stock goes from 46 to 240 in 90 days, return to sender.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this next one we were talking about here is PAAS, and pretty much we don't spend too much time on it because it's pretty much ditto what you just said on silver, I think. But,
Pan American Silver and Wheaton Precious Metals, these two are the two biggest purveyors of silver products. And so these are the two stocks I follow. I also love EXK, and I like AG in particular. Look at that chart, the little silver stock. It's gone from 540 to almost 12. Right. But they're all extended, but this might be a 13 or 14 before it's over. You see the momentum, and I don't see any top on this one per se. But I would, the precious metals to me I have a close friend, Avi Gilbert, who runs ElliottWaveTrader.net, and Avi's been right on the money with gold. And he said, we're going to get a generational move in gold in the next 5 years. But he says, short term, we're extended. I agree with him.
Yeah. Because I think there's no debate that the momentum has turned up, but it's a bit extended. This next one here is iRobot, IRBT. Sure. And this was going well for a while, and it has rolled over quite a bit. It's pressing its, well, it made a 52-week low today. So this the horses are out of the barn a bit, huh?
Jim, I want all your listeners to listen up on this, because I want to make a point. That first stock we discussed, Ulta.
Yeah, right.
Had a break like this, remember?
Yep.
And look what this did after. A few days of rally back, perfect little bear way down, and then a long coil. I put out a short on this at 92 to my people, and it collapsed to 60. And guess what? There's a big support level across here. God forbid, if it breaks that, you're going to see 47, 48.
Okay? And you know what? You're making a great point, because I just looked at the volume, and it was a huge volume drop back in July, and then the volume died out, but the prices continued to go from the 80 ballpark area down to 60. So that's a very good point you made, that this Ulta may definitely have some more land on the downside.
Yeah, what I want to point out is that when a stock has proper characteristics in an uptrend, or high volume on up moves, pull back on low volume, high volume on up moves, you know, that routine. But when it changes dramatically like this, big volume on the downside, low volume on the upside, big volume on the downside, and even when it tries to rally, it's very low volume days. I mean, the other thing is, I wouldn't necessarily short it now, because it's already dropped from 132 to 60, in more than in half, okay? And it's at a long-term support level. But if this rallies to 71, it does it weekly, it looks like this, like a bear wedge or a bear flag, and low volume, then I would say we got 1, 2, 3, and 4, and wave 5 could take it down to $50. But I want to do that from 75.
Gotcha. Now,
this is too extended to the downside. Just like the other ones are too extended to the upside, you know, you got to be smart. You can't, because something looks terrible, there may be a more advantageous time in terms of entry level. Right now, this does not look like a good entry level to me. It's too close to support, and it's too far down from the top.
Well, this next one is kind of going back into the junkyard, but it pays 10.49 dividend currently, and this is in Macy's, the big M. And it's right down here, it's 52-week lows, and what does this thing look like?
Okay. Anybody who's a technician that looks at this chart, first of all, this was a little left shoulder, head right shoulder in here, broke down there, a little bear wedge there, another one there. This stock just unable to rally. And here's another bear flag right here before the recent kill, meaning any time a stock does this on low volume compared to where it was prior, and look where it couldn't get through. This was a prior support level that it could not get through. And then it rolled over, literally dropping from 23 to 14. It's just like Taylor Brands, which is another one, TLRD. I want to point this out too. Look at this stock. This was a breakdown. I put a short right there. It formed a bear flag, a bear flag, a bear flag, a bear flag, a bear, and it's still, this literally went from 39 to 4 and finally bounced. But in the case of Macy's, where's the bottom of this stock? Let's look back historically. Now that it's broken the prior low from 2017 and even broken the lows from 2009, the only support left I see is down here for a test of 11 and then maybe down in single digits. Now, I don't think it gets down in single digits, but, and I wouldn't short it here. When anytime a stock drops from the top of the channel to the bottom of the channel, even if it's below support, it's due for a bounce of some sort. What I think is going to occur would be a bounce up to the prior low to 17 and a half, and then maybe a drop down to 11. That's right. Again, I'm not looking to catch a falling knife. That's how you cut your hands. I'm not looking to buy a stock on a pullback unless it's in an uptrend, not in a downtrend. The big mistake people make is they think something's a bargain. It can always be cheaper. Just like a stock is overbought. You can always get more overbought. Just like when the McClellan oscillator is overbought, everybody screams the market's going down. Well, that could stay overbought for 2, 3, 4 weeks before the market rolls over. Same thing goes with stocks. This is oversold. I wouldn't be selling it, but I buy it. If you want to scalp it for a trade from 1439 to 17, maybe you can do that because it's over. But in this market with retail stocks going the way they are, I mean, the group is decimated. So again, there's going to be a point which is a great buy long-term. I don't know where that is. My guess would be here. Somewhere close to the bottom of this channel. And that comes in about $9. Now, I don't know if it goes to 9 or 10, but I'm saying this is not where I want to buy it. On the other hand, if it's just suddenly turn around and explode on big volume, then pull back, that's where I'm interested. But right now it's coming down on heavy volume. Look, heavy volume. This stock's being sold by everybody, institutions, you name it. So I don't want a stock that nobody wants. Not now, not until I see some upside bars like this. When it turns around, like the same thing happened in here. You see this declining channel? Look, going ugly, ugly, ugly. Suddenly a reversal bar, a massive volume, and then extension follow through. That's where the stock should have been bought. And look at that run up. Same thing here. You don't buy a stock down here because it looks cheap and it's at the bottom of the channel. Yes, it's oversold. Yes, you may get a scalp, but if it rolls over, it could be $11.
All right. We have a couple more here there that are in the gold and silver, but they have similar situations as the other one. So I'm trying to pick some other stocks out here to make sure we get to all of them. And also, if you have a couple of different stocks that you like, I was wondering if you want to interject with some things that are on your radar right now.
Well, I can show you some of my swing trades, but you want to do it now?
Yeah, sure. No, well, we do some now, we do some later, you know.
Well, coincidentally, I put out 3 or 4 shorts today. I can show you, let me show you them.
Sure.
Formerly Taser, AAXN, Exxon. So the stock was in a nice uptrend. It formed a little topping pattern. See the breakaway gap to the downside? And that's a bear wedge. Well, today the bear wedge broke. I'm short down to 47 and maybe 40.
That does look like a rollover. Yeah.
OMCL. Now this one you got to be careful because it's right on the trend line. But when a stock breaks hard on big volume, see it here, and bounces but can't get back through resistance and then forms a bear coil. Should this thing break 66.5-7, it could pump be 58.9 quickly, and it may come down much further than that. This may be the beginning of a big drop. But you got to be careful because I want to see the trend line break first. LII. Same thing as you just saw, almost the same pattern as this, only a little different. But basically, a long trend is broken with a big thrust to the downside on big volume, see it? And then this wedge forms on lower volume. And now today, it dropped 736, about 3%. This is an expensive stock, but I think this could be 230 and even 204. So then Etsy, which is a market favorite, everybody loves this stock. So do I. I mean, this is a big favorite for us. Look at this move. Literally went from 8 to 70, and now it broke down hard and can't rally. When you see a falling flag after a break, down, it usually means much lower. I'm looking for 41 and 38, not in that range. It's 50 right now. On the long side, to give you a couple longs, one of our biggest winners this year was Lattice Semiconductor. Why? I'll show you where I gave it out to my people. I noticed the unbalanced volume and some technical patterns here when it broke out 2-3 days before it gapped up in around the 7.5 range. Exploded, pulled back, exploded, back, and today it broke down. So this one I have a stop on because it had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 waves. May need to do something like that. But I think on a long-term basis, Lattice Semiconductor is going higher. The problem is semiconductors are not in favor right now, so that's not one I would get too crazy about. A zillion people a day ask me about Twitter, and I think Twitter's actually looking pretty good. Now today it was down, but it made a nominal new high, or did it? Just, I think it got up to 43.77. The high here was 43.48. So it made a nominal new high and reversed. So that's a bad thing. This is called a bearish engulfing. Now this one looks lower short term, but if it can hold 39.5-40, I'm looking for 49.50 or more on Twitter. So there's a lot of stocks out there that are looking better. Like SONO is another one that I'm doing very well with. I look for long term declines, big bases, and then a breakout, a little flag pop, another flag, another pop. But it reversed today. See, this is why I'm worried about the market. There's a lot of bullish stocks that have reversed today. So unless this something occurs with China, I think the market has to go down, and I want to see a washout. What I'm worried about is this. The McClellan oscillator is a plus 20. That's nowhere near oversold. This can get down to minus 200-300 before we're oversold. So we have a long way to go down, I think, potentially. If the market breaks, it may break hard. And that's why my favorite trading vehicle intraday is TVIX and UVXY. Look at this long-term downtrend, breakout, consolidation, hold, support. There. Big volume on the up days, low volume on the down days. I think TBIX goes to 24, 26.5, and 32 if the market tanks. Right now it's 19.5. I like this stock. I like the long-term decline pattern on Sientra. It broke out and it's platforming. It cannot break the platform, and it might in this market, but it's something to watch. If it should break out above 7.5, I think it could be 50 to 100% gainer. That's just a few ideas. There's lots of other ones out there. I get people.
Can you put up the 10-year treasury and do a quick readout on that? Because, you know, people have been running into bonds as if the house is on fire. And are, you know, is it a situation where we're going to go to zero interest rates here? Or is it a situation where, you know, they're getting a little ahead of themselves? What do you think?
It's funny. I saw something on CNBC today that a couple of bond experts came on and they said, this is a big problem. It's a big problem. And so, look, this is the TLT, which is a bond fund that follows the treasury bonds. The 20.
Right.
So you can see where it is at. This is highest level of reach. It's only been out, it's been out for 9 years, and it's the highest level of reach. And I always like to draw channels because stocks tend to go in channels. And if you look at the long-term channel, this is near the top of the channel. So again, anything, especially in treasury bonds, you got a bond fund that went from 112 to 148. That's a big move in 90 days or whatever it is. It's more than that. Yeah, it's about 9 months. The bottom line is though, inverse head and shoulder and run up in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 waves. So it's 5 waves at the top of the channel. I'm a seller. I don't care where it goes. That's the thing. Risk reward. When the risk is much higher and you're in something, you exit at least half your position. See, what I would do on this stock right now, I would exit half here and see this little bar, pullback bar, 143.43. I put a rock solid stop under 143 right there. So if it comes down, you're protected, you're stopped out. If it goes, let it keep going. Let it, you know, but this is overbought. Just like silver and gold, bonds, silver, gold, all of that short-term overbought.
Okay, turning the page on something here. You know, there is talk that the ECB is going to be easing in the fourth quarter or the third quarter here. And there's some talk about the, you know, the Brexit situation and all that. With FEZ, being obviously, you know, languishing. What does the chart tell you, and when might it tell you that there could be a turn in this thing? Right now, obviously, it looks pretty sloppy, but, you know, stranger things have happened. But what is it really showing technically?
Well, I happen to like this chart. This is what we call a V-bottom with a right-handed extended V. So when you see a V-bottom after multiple waves down and it reverses back up through the trend line, this is the trend line right here. Mm-hmm. That was a buy there after it hit the 50 and backed off and held right there. That was where the buy was. And then it ran up and now it's retesting. Yeah, I'm not thrilled with this, but look, you can go long and stop this under 35 and you're good to go because it's vulnerable to 31.75 for a retest or worse. If we get any kind of bear phase, this is a European stock index, right? Or an ETF for European stocks.
Right.
So I don't have any. Look, I mean, I don't see any reason why anybody would want to be in this right now. This is a long-term base. Right. Basically, look, I just tell everybody, I put out 10 or 15 ideas a day. There's so many stocks, even in the worst market, even when there's 3,000 stocks down, there's at least 300-400 up. So if you find the right stocks, they don't care what the market's doing. They're in a world of their own for the most part. Yes, a rising tide floats all boats. That's the old expression. And I'm a big believer in it's a market of stocks, not a stock market. If you are in a stock that's running in a down market, people love my site because we make money up or down no matter what the market's doing. We don't care. If we find the trend, I can show you some stocks today. If you got a second, these are three stocks we traded today in this market. Look at a Bayo and look at the 1 minute chart. When this stock exploded up and pulled back, we bought it in about that's not correct. When it was up here, we bought it because I don't trade stocks under $2. I bought it here when it pulled back around 2.25. Eventually it went to 3.5 for about more than a 50% gain. ARDX popped, pulled back. We bought it on a breakout. It consolidated and ran. It literally went from 4 to 6. And CDTX popped early and pulled back. This one's not quite the same. Some of our people were stopped out on it when it broke down, but it was ample opportunity to make money. And NETE, look at this chart. This is what stocks do. They tend to run in 45-degree angles. So if you get in a stock like that, just let it run. Don't sell yourself short. The number one mistake most traders make, they sell too early. And they always go, how do I stay in a stock? By scaling out. You sell a little there, a little there, a little there until you're out of stock or you're stopped out.
Right. You seem to be around some of the biotech and the healthcare and then, of course, the tech stocks. Is that where a lot of the action seems to be for you?
I'll give you a hint. The three indexes I follow the most, SMH, LABU, and FAS, semiconductor, biotech, and financials. Those are, I think, the three groups that move the market. So when I want to see what the SMH and markets, when I want to see what the market looks like, I'll do this. You look at this chart, broke hard and forming a flag. If this this breaks down from this pattern, the market, it's going down there, and the market's going to hell in a handbasket. I'm very, very cautious here. I don't like what I'm seeing. Unless this market can turn around quickly and break back out above here, above that line. And the same thing with the financials. See that box right there? Break down, form a consolidation. If that's one and two, we have three, four, and five to go yet, at least possibility. And then LABU, believe it or not, well, it should be easy to believe, because biotechs don't go on earnings. They go on drug prospects and trials and, you know, FDA approvals and things like that. You look at LABU, this index is suffering and suffering badly. I love the biotechs and off the December rally. They were great. But when they broke down here and formed that little flag and went lower and then couldn't get back three, four times, I knew this thing was going to roll over. Look at today, down 6.7% for an ETF. And I think this has legs to go down to 30, 31, and maybe even high 20s before it's over.
That's interesting. On the indexes in general, do you want to throw up the S&P, the NASDAQ, and the Russell? You know, the Russell has been really lagging, right?
Here's the S&P. You'll see the breakdown. And what's really interesting to me, this red dotted line is a 50-day moving average. Not able to get through. Four or five times unable to get through. That tells me it's going down. Unless it suddenly surges on some big news, the technical analysis of this tells me 1, 2, and 3, we're headed to 2735. That's my next target. Why? Well, not only is it the bottom of the channel, but it's lateral support. 2729 is what was reached at the June low. So the measured move here off of there also gets you there. So that's a good number. 2735. Five, give or take 10 points, is a target unless we completely blow through 2945. That's the S&P. And by the way, the only two indexes I follow are S&P and NDX.
Okay.
The NDX index, same thing. Resistance, unable to get through it. A new channel is formed, it looks like. And if that's the angle, this NDX could come down to 7,000 and test that, maybe 6950. That's 650 points more from where we are. Mm. That could be another 7 or 8% fast.
And the fuse could get lit on September 18th when the Fed meets, and if they don't come out with something that everybody wants to hear, and then of course everyone will blame Powell, and that will be the way that'll go.
Well, we know for sure who's going to blame Powell.
That is for sure. The oil sector is kind of obviously been under pressure. Is it near the low down here, or is there more to follow on the downside?
Well, here's a stock that I've made so much money on in my lifetime. It's like incredibly volatile. CRS, California Resources. But look at the moves it makes, and it's very distinct moves. Here's a 1, 2, 3, 4 and a truncated fifth wave, meaning short and double top, cracked support, ran up. I'm just seeing more and more of this. If this looks like a bottom, this is nowhere near a bottom. I'm seeing a bear wedge that broke down today. This thing dropped $1.50. It's gone from 50 to 8. And I'm thinking it may be 5 or 6 before it's over down here. That's where it's a big buy. But you know, you want to go to the big boys like Exxon. I mean, you had a massive downtrend, a breakout, and a pullback, and it's broken support. If you look at what I follow is the UWT, and that's the triple long ETF or ETN for oil. But when you really want to go at oil itself, you follow the USO. USO tracks the price of oil itself, not oil stocks. Right. And you can see that it's in a downtrend. It doesn't look like anything near us a buy, other than to say that there is a massive support zone around 10.40.50 down here. You break that, you're going to test the low, simple as that. Down there, and that's 933. This is not a good chart. No way, no how. It's got, you know, a 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe needs a fifth wave down and finish it off, or maybe it holds 1045, 1055, but at some point, it's got to turn around and break out above 12. That's where I think becomes a bigger buy. But even 12, above that is 1250, and those two levels right now are key resistance, 12 and 1250. Until it gets to 1250, it may go lower. And I'm not a fan of oil. I'm not a fan of gold and silver. Not this moment. I like gold and silver. But the difference is that the oil looks bad. It's been in a downtrend. The others two look good, but they're overbought. So right now I like nothing except day trading momentum stocks, like I showed you those charts on. And maybe swinging. Even the swings aren't working as well the last 2-3 weeks because of the market pressure on these stocks.
How about a stock that was out of the news, in the news, always around, Tesla?
Well, I've told everybody to short this stock back in here. I'll show you something. Yeah, Tesla was a darling, as you know. And my lines should be coming up shortly. I don't know where they are. There they are. So you can see that double bottom here, and then a break through it, and a rally to it, and then this. This is a nice rising wedge rally. It did about a 0.375 Fibonacci retracement and pulled back. So now I actually have a positive outlook on Tesla. If it wasn't for the market itself, I'd be very positive on Tesla. Here's why. This is a V bottom. This is a three-wave corrective pullback, or a V bottom with a right-handed extended pattern. This is a platform you do not want to break. If you buy Tesla and you're afraid of the market, you have to stop under 2010-11. What I'm looking for is a target of about 238 to 45 and then a test of 265. I like it overall. I mean, I don't like it overall because it's still technically in a bear trend, but I like the fact that it may be in a bottoming pattern. We'll have to wait to see whether it breaks down under 210 or breaks out over, you know, first of all, it needs to get back over the 50-day moving average. And you can see this red line right there. And that red line says today's the 50-day moving average is 232.5. If it gets above that, and volume comes in. Because for me, I think price is useless unless volume comes with it. If you get a price volume surge together, that's where you make your money.
You know, one stock that's on your, up your alley and also on the list here is NVIDIA. What are we looking like on NVIDIA?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with this stock. Because even when, I mean, it was one of my biggest winners. I want to point out to anyone who's interested in subscribing to my site that when NVIDIA had a breakaway gap here in 2016, I put a swing on it. And when it broke out here, I put another swing on it. And it broke out there, I put another swing on it. And I put a stop under there. I think it was 235. And it got hammered in a five-wave decline. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then it rallied back, not as well as some other stocks did in December, and pulled back down. The overall look, and there's a lot of lines in this chart, so don't get confused. The overall look of this chart is a large wedge. It looks like this. There's a wedge. NVIDIA can be bought, but you have to be alert, aware of short-term support. Number one, last week's low, 159, is a must-stop for me. If you're an intermediate or longer-term trader in NVIDIA, under 147 is a must-stop. Over 177, I'm an aggressive buyer to 190.95 and then up to 225. But I want to see that thrust and a breakout of that, which could be a basing pattern. Could be. It had a massive run. It went from 13 to 265. So it's 20-fold increase. You're going to get these kind of intermediate pullbacks. But I'm not liking the way it's acting relative to some other stocks, you know, like your Microsofts and Apples.
You know, on the financials that you do watch, one stock that I've been told is very cheap as far as their price to book is concerned is Citigroup. Do you see anything in Citigroup that would be of any value at this point?
Again, you're talking fundamentals. I'm talking technicals, but...
Well, no, I'm just saying I'd mentioned that, and then how do the technicals match up to that comment that it's cheap?
Well, I don't know why you think it's cheap.
No, just the price to book. I'm not an expert on the stock, but I'm just saying the price to book is cheap as far as people tell me.
Okay. Well, this is a massive V-buy. Look at the heavy sell-off here back in November of last year. Massive hell. So, and also good up volume. And then 1, 2, 3 pullbacks. Runs up to resistance, pulls back a fourth time. Runs up to resistance, pulls back a fifth and sixth time. So you can see the value of this level. Anything under 60, sayonara. Under 60, stop.
Right. So this is an area of support, but if it broke, then, again, the horses are out of the barn. If it holds here and the stars align properly here with this thing moving back up, there could be some value down here.
Right. Any break would get me maybe down to 56, at which point I'd be very interested. But I'd want to see it get down there and reverse first. This bothers me, and I'll tell you why. When a stock comes down and it's unable to do more than form a wedge, that's usually a bear wedge. That means it's a 1-2, and 3 should get you to 56. So if you want to buy it, you can buy it, but you better stop under 60.
And if that S&P does do a dump down towards the 2,700 numbers, this thing will probably be at the 56.
If not 49.50.
Yeah, but if not 49.50.
56 is a fait accompli, a given, if the market cracks and runs down to that level.
Sure. Are there any let me just see if there's anything else here. Viacom, VIAB, some people looking at that. That just seems like something that's on the defensive, but what does it show?
Wow, brutal. Now, look at the long-term chart. Why anybody wants to buy this stock, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would rather see, and here's what I always tell everybody. I would rather pay up and know that a stock's broken out and it's trending up, then try to pick a bottom and watch it go lower and lower and lower. There's nothing that could stop a stock from going lower. I mean, especially when you're 24, what's to prevent this from going to, now here's the bottom of that channel, watch this. Even if I align it that way, $15 is doable. That's 9.5 points from here. I'm not saying it's going to 15. I'm just saying that if it broke this zone, there's a lot of room to drop on it. Now, why wouldn't you want to wait to see if it breaks back out? Yeah, okay. Everyone likes a bargain, but I'd rather pay 32 and know that it's back up again. And we're going into the 40, 45, and 50 range and try to buy it here because I think it's got a base. The worst thing you can do is form a large base for a year and a half and then break down. Then it goes to hell in a handbasket. So, that's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you, this last one here is Fiserv, and I'm finding it kind of interesting because of the fact that it had a pretty high volume run and it has distributed out. Today, it's very close to its 52-week high, consumer finance. And this could be very interesting. That's FISV.
Oh.
FISV.
I thought you said
Fiserv. Another one you're looking at.
Fiserv, okay.
Yeah, Fiserv.
Well, again, this is a stock with momentum. When the stock, I forgot who it was that taught me this when I was a kid. They say the strongest stocks in a lousy market are the very strongest stocks in a good market. Meaning, when a stock has this kind of momentum, is holding this close to the high, yeah, it's vulnerable to a pullback. But it's one of those stocks that you want to watch, because when this stock breaks, then you know the market's near a bottom. When the big boys finally tank, when they cave in and they throw the baby out with the bathwater, all the good stocks start to crack when they've been holding through the whole bear market. This may be a 1-2-3, and all we're going to get is a wave 4 down at 96, 98, and back up to 118 when the market turns around. I like to look at the stock, but yes, it's vulnerable. Why wouldn't it be? It's gone from, I mean, look at this thing. It's gone from $7 to 105. Yeah. Is it vulnerable? Yeah. I wouldn't I'd be a seller necessarily, but I would pay. Here's what I would do. If I had 3,000 shares, I'd stop 1,000 under 104. I'd stop another 1,000 under 101.5. And I'd stop my 3,000 under 99.5. And the reason I do that, scale out and scale in. Because if the stock should, for example, drop down to there and take me out of a third of my position and turn around, I'm still in 2/3 of it. And I have an option of buying back that third. But if it tanks and gets underneath there and breaks three prior pullback lows, it's likely to go down to the trend line, which is 94.5. I don't want to see it go down 10 points from here. So that's the way I trade.
Sure. Well, right now, what I'd like to do is let you again reintroduce yourself in the website. And if you have any special offers for anybody, maybe you could give them out now. I'll tell you right now, just my own opinion is Harry has got some very, very good information to put into your decision-making process. And he could be very helpful in you trying to figure out where you're at on any stock that you might own. Plus, with the live webinar trading room and all the different stocks that you follow, I mean, there's a lot of value here, guys. This is something you should definitely take advantage of. Harry, could you tell them how to get a hold of you and all that kind of thing?
Well, in front of you, see my main page, and you just go to thetechtrader.com. This comes up. Click on this here. It says you can get all my services for free for 15 days. Many of my people who eventually joined tell me they made enough to cover my entire first year of subscription costs in the first 2 weeks that were free because of the ideas that they had and they traded with while I was giving them a free trial. Once you do that, you just put your name in and your email. That's it. No credit card necessary, nothing. We won't ask you for anything. And not only that, but if you don't subscribe, but you were kind enough to try us for 2 weeks, we'll send you a free 2-DVD set on day and swing trading, a courtesy of yours truly. So come on in and take a look at what we do. Just a little flair, guys and gals, of the trading room. You'll see that I have a room here where people are posting about trades. They're posting on news all day. I got some great traders in here. I post information nearly every 3-4 minutes. I have several fantastic traders who really know what they're doing. And also, a lot of these people don't mind mentoring people who are newbies. So don't be shy if you haven't traded much. You can come into the site and check it out for 2 weeks. I think you'll be very pleased.
Yeah, I think that's a great opportunity. And like you say, whether you're just starting out or have a lot of experience, there's information here that could benefit you. There's no doubt about that. I just want to thank Harry for taking his time and going through a lot of information with you today that obviously, he's put a lot of effort over the years to put this together. And he's gone through a lot of the bumps in the road. And fortunately, he can maybe help you avoid some of those bumps by looking at the material that he has there, no doubt about it. I'm going to turn it back over to David. Again, thank you very much, Harry, for taking your time here. These people are very lucky to be able to hear you. There's no doubt about that.
Well, my pleasure, and call on me anytime you want to have another chat.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion, and great to hear more about how Harry trades and see how he looks at charts and everything. So just a quick reminder to everyone listening, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording and notes of this show or any of the past shows. And I just want to thank my guests again for today. Harry Boxer of thetechtrader.com and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, David.